Chapter 3.
Hey!
A soft caw had me rising through the thick, syrupy unconsciousness of the truly restful.
Go away, Roo,
I murmured, and turned my head away from where the little crow moth was preening a few locks of my hair. I didn't have to know what time it was to know it was way too fucking early, and I really wanted to just sink into this warm bed where I was surrounded on either side by my two gorgeous wives. When I returned from the conversation with Gavlane last night, it was to the most beautiful sight my weary eyes had ever seen. Zoe and Shay had been clothed in gauzy, lacy little nightgowns that made them both look soft and open in the light coming from the fireplace, and I relished in the fact I was able to hold both of them all night in the luxuriously huge bed in the palatial guest suite. I never slept so well in all my life as I did when I was cradled by my steadfast lover on my left and my new adventure on my right. And now I had a little pest bothering me, which was way uncool.
Squaw!
The gold seeker said as he hopped on my head with his little crow feet. And then he shook his yellow, dusty head as he eyeballed me upside down with his bulbous scarlet eyes. Rufus! I hissed out as Shay mumbled and snuggled closer to my right side.
You told him to wake you up early, don't you remember?
Zoe whispered, and I looked down at where she was gazing sleepily up at me with her head on my chest.
Oh, hell,
I groaned, when I remembered I was supposed to get up and go hunting with Gavlane for something called a stag beetle, which, considering this was Aventol, I figured what they meant by stag beetle resembled more stag than beetle in this world.
The hunt. I forgot.
The Asher Lord invited you on a hunt?
Zoe asked as she patted Rufus, who then returned to his preferred perch on the headboard and tucked his head under his wing now that his task was over. She chuckled at his antics and then began to absently swirl her fingers through the sparse hair on my chest.
That is a high honor.
Really? I asked, as I rubbed circles into the small of her back with my thumb.
Haven't I been honored enough?
Never.
The beautiful catwoman sighed and stretched against me in a way that wasn't even trying to be sensuous, but just was.
Oh, you are making it impossible for me to want to leave, I murmured as I buried my face in her clover-scented hair and inhaled her warm, sleepy essence. Can't I stay? Oh, tell me I can stay.
You must go.
She chuckled a bit as I tugged her even closer and nibbled on her pulse point.
Mecca's taken a shine to you, and there is no greater ally for you to have, my love.
Yeah, yeah, I grumbled, as I nosed my way behind her velvety pointed ear.
She flicked it rapidly against my face, which felt like a cute butterfly kiss, and then she flattened them both so she could push her head snugly under my chin without crushing her ears.
What is it the Asher Lord wishes to hunt?
He wants to find something called a stag beetle, I said. Any advice?
Zoe thought for a moment as she continued to draw idle patterns on my left pec.
Watch out for giant pincers.
Oh, no big deal, I deadpanned. Avoid giant pincers, easy.
Just be fast like I know you can be, husband.
Zoe purred in a drowsy voice, and I could tell she was close to dropping off to sleep again.
No challenge is too great for you.
I am humbled by your confidence,
I said through a smile, as Zoe's dark head grew heavier and heavier on my chest.
But I think I have a bigger challenge I need your help with.
Hmm?
Zoe made a questioning noise and opened her blue eyes again so she could peer into my face. I smiled at her and glanced down at my right, where Shay was doing a good impression of a jungle vine as she wrapped herself tightly around my right arm.
I don't want to wake her. Help?
Let me.
The catwoman whispered, and between the two of us, we were able to do a switch-up similar to Indy at the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark, when he replaced the idol with a bag of sand. Only this situation had Zoe slipping into my spot at the same time as I left it, and Shay reached for the next available warm body without even fluttering an eyelash.
Oh, now I really don't want to go,
I said, as I stood by the side of the bed and looked down at the two beautiful creatures twined around each other like a fucking vision. Shay slept on with her crimson hair tied up in a coiled braid as she rested her cheek against Zoe's silk-clad breasts. Her arm was flung artlessly over Zoe's toned waist, and the catwoman embraced her and casually tangled their legs together.
You must,
Zoe said through the purr that started up deep in her chest, and she swished her tail to and fro as she slowly rubbed her cheek back and forth over the top of Shay's head. This caused Shay to coo like a dove and snuggle in even harder until her face was pressed into the dark cavern where Zoe's neck met her shoulder.
But,
I whined, and then flung out my arm toward the endearing scene as if I was impossible to argue with, because who could willingly walk away from something like that, honestly? Only a monster, that's who.
I know she is precious to us, but there will be time to savor her the way she deserves later, my love.
Zoe murmured with a look in her eyes that told me she knew exactly how I felt.
Now go. But I promise there will be a surprise for you later.
Only because you promised, I groaned. And I knelt on the mattress with one knee so I could kiss first Zoe on the brow, and then Shay on the only part of her cheek that was visible through Zoe's hair. Take care of her.
I shall,
Zoe hummed, and she already sounded halfway back to Slumberland. I tore my eyes away from the ravishing sight like a starving man staring through the window of an all-you-can-eat buffet, and I groaned again as I hurried through getting dressed. I really hoped there was breakfast before this hunting thing, because if I couldn't satisfy the appetite I really wanted to, then a different kind of appetite would just have to do. With that, I tucked my doula stone under my tunic, tied on my hunter green riding cape, and fastened my herald blade to my armored belt before I reached for the door. I told myself not to look back and forced my legs to carry me out into the corridor, even though it took all of my willpower as a hot-blooded male in his prime 20s not to turn around, crawl right back into that snuggle sandwich, and see where the morning went from there. Hopefully it would have been in the direction of first kissing my wives awake, some heavy petting, ditching the clothes, and then some rubbing and stroking in or around that order. A big sigh gusted out of me as every step took me away from my dream morning. I hoped they realized the sacrifices I had to make for the benefit of us all. Then I told myself I was just a little grumpy my wives both got to stay in the warm bed while I had to go rub elbows with the Asher Lord, whose policies were dubious at best and tyrannical at worst, in a world that still didn't have any coffee. However, just the image of my women cuddled together was enough to replace the spring in my step. But I did earmark the concerning thought about Gavlane's morals and leadership values for later. It was one thing to abide by a government, but when leaders were forced to oppress the people they were supposed to protect, wasn't it the responsibility of those people to overthrow the powers that be? Apparently, this world had done so in the past, given the annual race I literally just won, which memorialized the guy who started the uprising that created the Duelist faction way back when. But now, the world had fallen back into a status quo, rife with an imbalance of power, down to the Ashers even controlling the people's drinking water. It was a cycle of oppression that never seemed to be broken, and I really wondered why. I also realized things were rarely black and white, and I only knew a fraction of what made this world turn. For the most part, the citizens of Nada Isle didn't seem to mind the status quo, and they actually looked to the Ashers to save them. In fact, even if there had been murmurings of social unrest, I would bet all my new gold that since the Demon Scourge had returned to Aventol, no one was complaining about the Ashers now. And Gavlane Mech, the Ram Lord of Nada, never struck me as a guy who particularly wanted to oppress and control his people. There had to be something else under the surface of the Asher Lord, and I admit, I was eager to find out how much I could truly trust him. So far, he seemed to have my best interest at heart, but I wasn't sure if that was just because of my status or something else. All these questions would have to be stowed for later, as I spotted Rylan, my faithful stable boy, hurrying toward me down the corridor.
Hi, Asher! Hi, Alex!
Rylan said as he remembered, finally, to drop the pesky honorific in front of my name. You remember to call me Alex. Great job, bud. I hooked my arm around the back of the kid's neck so I could scruff his mop of sandy hair. Ever since he showed up in the middle of Aventol's first demon moon in over 7 decades and needed rescuing from a 6-foot Lovecraftian abomination with snapping bifurcated jaws, a writhing mass of tentacles on its back, and one pissed-off disposition, he'd been kind of attached to me like a stray puppy. Or more like the little brother I never had. Yeah, that seemed to fit, and explained my fondness for the kid, even though I'd never been the kid's type, so to speak. Anytime I was working for a bit of side cash, babysitting-type gigs were never something that interested me.
I'm glad you're up because I've been waiting all morning to show you something brilliant,
Ryland said with one of his happy puppy dog wiggles.
Come with me to the stables.
Lead on, I said, and followed him a few steps before I grabbed him. Or better yet, I'll race you.
What?
Ryland asked, and cocked his head just like my old neighbor's Jack Russell Terrier, who looked exactly like the dog from the old show Wishbone. A race. Ready? Set? Go! I took off in a blur past the kid and darted a glance over my shoulder.
Come on! The last one to the stables is a rotten egg!
The kid let out a whooping laugh and pounded after me like it was his job to beat me to the stables. It became obvious pretty quickly that I was much faster than the kid and could outstrip him if I really wanted to. But he really was a scrappy little thing, and I pulled my punches just a bit so he could feel like he had an edge on me. Of course, I couldn't actually let him win this time. How would he ever build any character otherwise?
Yes! I am the Master Commander! Everyone goes wild!
I cheered as I jogged to a stop outside the stables. I then thrust both fists into the air and cupped my hands around my mouth so I could do my best impression of a crowd roar.
Almost had you!
Ryland hollered and practically leapt on me as if trying to tackle me to the ground. But he was probably a total of 98 pounds soaking wet, so that wasn't going to happen.
Maybe next time, small fry,
I laughed and shoved him off. Then I laughed harder when he came after me again and ran into my unyielding palm as I straight-armed him.
Hey!
Ryland shouted through his playful glare. He tried to swipe at me, but he couldn't reach with my hand on his forehead like that.
No fair!
All's fair in love and war, young one,
came the deep rumble of Gavlane Mech's amused voice as he led two of the black-coated Pegasus creatures out of the stables. Something about what the Ramlord said hooked my brain, but before I could think more about the idiom, my noble steed, Prosper, gave me his customary greeting whistle, and an image of those purple root vegetables called ash roots popped into my head.
Goodness, Props, I said, and scrubbed his long black neck. Can you give me a second before you bombard me?
He is definitely bonded with you closer than he ever did with me. If he is able to send you images from afar like that.
Mech cocked his horned head as he regarded me with an expression I really didn't know what to make of.
Your reputation really does precede you, Alex, my friend.
Don't believe everything you hear, I said automatically. And then his words caught up with me.
Wait, what have you heard?
Only that you continue to be a surprising individual,
Mech laughed, and handed me an ash root as he fed his own mount something that looked like an apple, if apples were striped green.
Yeah, I've heard that once or twice, I snorted,
and Prosper's anteater snout uncoiled so he could slurp up the purple carrot. Then, when he reared his head and extended his black and orange monarch wings under the early morning dawn, I finally noticed the shiny glint of Prosper's riding saddle and gear.
Hey, you got new threads. Very snazzy.
Aren't they grand?
Ryland burst out, as if it had been killing him to hold back all this time.
Lord Mech allowed me to switch out Prosper's tack for a proper set worthy of a champion.
Now, don't start up with that champion stuff after you just finally started calling me Alex, I warned.
But then I grinned at the stable boy to let him know I wasn't really mad.
The reputation of your humility is also true. And had I not spent time in your company, I would laugh at anyone claiming an Asher to be so humble,
the Ramlord said as he shook his shaggy brown head. You don't seem like a guy who lets his ego get in the way of things, I said casually, even though I admit it was a little manipulative of me. I may have engineered the idle comment in a way I hoped would reveal more about Mech's character. I just hoped at least some of my instincts were right, and he really was a good guy.
Pride always comes before folly, my friend, and I have faltered many times over my life,
the noble Asher said, and I could actually hear the wisdom in his rolling thunder voice as if he was older than time itself. Something snagged on the corner of my mind again with his phrasing, but then Prosper interrupted my train of thought by questing his curly snout over the folds of my cape.
Sorry, buddy, but I don't have any more, I said, and laughed when he snorted in disdain and shook his majestic head. I know, I'm hungry too.
Yes, apologies about not having the usual spread, but the stag beetles tend to prefer prey that has just had a good meal in order to add to their stores before they mate and die, Mech said, as he rummaged around in the satchel tied to his belt, and he pulled out a dried hunk of something that looked like beef jerky and tossed it to me.
Chew on this for now. It is the bark of the gem tree, and it will give you a full feeling for many hours. Just be sure you are near a food source when it wears off.
All right, I said, and ripped off a piece of bark. Immediately, a nutty flavor, kind of like peanut butter, coated my tongue, and my stomach stopped its complaining. Thankfully, the taste was pretty good because the texture reminded me of chewing on the sunflower seeds Leary would keep around his workshop. I would snack on them whenever I didn't have money for lunch, which was often.
Good,
Mech nodded and mounted his jet-black canterfly. I followed his example and climbed up into Prosper's saddle.
Good luck, Alex,
Ryland called out, and he waved his hand vigorously as I followed the Ramlord away from the stables and toward a trailhead I knew led to a large green belt of forest between the palace square and the village near where my manor house was. The swath of land was always more beautiful than I remembered it, with its tall, multicolored trees I now knew were called gem trees, displaying their rich, jewel-toned leaves in the golden shafts of sunlight. "Does this forest have a name?" I whispered a little while later, as we trotted deeper into the trees. The Ramlord nodded his shaggy head.
"Like most places of significance in Aventol, this forest is named after an Asher named Thetan Yule. He was a king among hunters in his prime, and he owned most of the forest back before the councils divided everything. To this day, it is still called Yule Forest."
Just then, Mech's steed let out a low whistle and stamped one of its six hooves on the left side of its body.
"What is it, Lightning?"
the Ramlord asked as he stroked the large animal's neck and nickered soothingly to it. He then turned back to me.
"The canterfly is one of the few creatures that can track an adult stag beetle because they can feel the vibrations the stag beetles make as they travel through the ground."
"What, like tremors?" I snorted as I thought of the cult B-rated monster flick about the giant mutated earthworms that hunted through tremors in the earth. Only this was the reverse, it seemed. "The canterflies can feel them moving under the ground?"
"Yes, by the tremors, you are correct,"
Mech said, and steered us in the direction his Mount Lightning indicated.
"That means we must take care, because the stags can also feel us the closer we get."
"Can they hear us?" I asked in a hushed voice, and I looked warily at the ground, as if it would just open up at any second. I was still getting used to the fact that most of the beasts in this world were a hybrid of mammal/insect, but I drew the line when it came to bugs that could surf under the ground like sharks and eat my ass.
"No, they can only see movement, so do not worry," he chuckled. "The canterflies tread softly, so as long as we are traveling perpendicular to the beasts, we will be out of their range of detection for the most part, and they primarily surface if they sense a female present. The good news is, the stags are only active and carnivorous for this short time during the year."
"It's comforting to know that isn't an all-year thing," I said, and then frowned when, again, something niggled in the back of my mind. I couldn't put my finger on it, but something about the things Mech said kept kicking me in the brain as being significant somehow, and it was driving me crazy that I couldn't pinpoint it. Whatever the case, I knew once I realized what it was, I would probably kick myself for it like the time I couldn't remember where I heard a particularly annoying song. And it wasn't until 3 a.m. when I tore myself out of sleep with the answer. Apparently, Butterfly in the Sky was the theme song from the old kid show, Reading Rainbow. And even though this knowledge was absolutely useless, I couldn't sleep soundly until I figured it out. Talking with Mech was kind of like that. Finally, when the canterflies were getting antsy and kept doing the sidestep shuffle thing as if they were walking on hot coals, the Ramlord raised his hand, and we both halted.
"Do you see the fresh gouges in the earth here?"
he asked, and pointed his scarlet-gloved hand toward the fresh mounds of overturned dirt.
"That means we have just intersected the beast's path. We go on foot from here, my friend."
"Does one particular weapon work best on stag beetles?" I asked a little nervously, when I realized the formidable Asher Lord appeared to be unequipped with a weapon of any sort. The stags have an almost indestructible carapace, and they are known to have only one vulnerability, which is the fragile bones in their necks, he said, and then unhooked a coil of rope that had several gourd-like things tied to it, almost like a string of tin cans they used to tie to the back of a young married couple's tailgate. The only way to kill it is to lure it above ground, and since we don't want to use ourselves as bait, that leaves only one other option, the gourds. When I drag them behind me, it mimics the skittering feet of a female. The stags leave such a mess behind them so any interested females can follow them to the mating den he prepared. That way the stag will think we're pursuing him, and won't attack until he sees it's too late. Now, tie the canterflies to a tree. Okay, that's genius with the gourd thing, I said, as I lashed both Prosper and Lightning to a tree near the sunniest patch of grass in the clearing, so they could munch on it while we were gone. I can't help but notice you still never told me how we kill something with nearly indestructible body armor. Won't my herald blade work?
Yes, it would work in a pinch, but it would be a waste of a good herald blade, not to mention disrespectful to the stag, Mech said, as we trailed through the forest.
Isn't killing the stag disrespectful already? I asked, as we went deeper into the dense wooded area that showed more signs of something big gouging deep lines in the dirt and tree trunks. Why does it matter how it's killed?
The stags churn the forest floor and keep the native fungus on the island from rotting away the tree roots and leaving the forest of Yule barren, the Ramlord explained, as the thicket of branches crowded closer.
However, if the stags are left to run rampant during their rut, they will overtill the soil and cause the trees to wither and starve.
It is a balance between hunter and hunted. The hunter might have the power to wipe out the mindless rampaging stags, but he sees how they are necessary and respects their purpose and sacrifice.
The wise Asher Lord spared a moment to give me a glance over his shoulder, and I knew he'd been trying to tell me something significant for quite some time now, but I just couldn't put my finger on it.
You still haven't told me how to kill one of these noble beasts, I said, as I glanced around the low-hanging bowers that caused the dimness of the forest to be magnified in an ominous fashion.
Patience is a virtue, my friend, Mech chuckled as he stopped in the middle of the small clearing and wound up the gourd rope.
Huh, one of my foster mothers would always say that.
I trailed off when that 3 in the morning duh moment finally hit me over the head like a metal folding chair.
Wait, that's a saying from Earth. How do you know that?
In fact, when I thought back on it, the Asher Lord had been dropping hints like this all morning. All is fair in love and war, pride before folly, the use of the word years instead of seasons like all Aventolians use to measure. Patience is a virtue. Only a person who was familiar with my Earth would know the correct context to use those idioms in a seamless way.
I want you to know I didn't mean to deceive you for any malicious intent, but I just needed to be sure, the Ramlord said with a somewhat sheepish look on his expressive face.
Sure about what? I asked.
But then the ground rumbled under my feet, similar to how I imagined it would feel like to be chased by a graboid from Tremors.
Oh, Alex, I almost forgot, Mech said,
and my head swiveled around to try and track the violent snapping of twigs as the stag beetle surged closer.
The way you kill a stag is by grabbing its horns and breaking its neck.
And then, before I could answer, a monstrous creature, boasting 8 hairy tarantula legs and a periscoping head with massive horn-like pincers for jowls, burst out of the earth in a way that would make even Kevin Bacon shit his cowboy boots.
Sure, just grab the horns, he says.
Easier said than done.